Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com.
Pulled from the hottest topics coming across our news desk, I'm Elissa Branch, and this is Housing Wire Daily. Today's episode features an interview with Nicole Bichot, an economic data analyst at Zillow, as she discusses Zillow's August 2021 market report. During the episode, we talk about home appreciation growth, inventory, and rent prices. She also shares some advice for people thinking about entering the market for the remainder of the year. But before we listen, here's a brief word from our sponsor.
TMS helps grow business for your customers, allowing you to do what you do best, continuing to build a business with raving fans. We believe that a happy customer is a referral and a customer for life. TMS is committed to building your brand through subservicing. Learn more today at subservicing.themoneysource.com.
Hello and welcome back to Housing Wire Daily. I'm Elissa Branch, and today I'm joined by Nicole Bichot, economic data analyst at Zillow. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me, Elissa.
Of course. Our discussion today is going to focus on Zillow's August 2021 market report that looks at some of August numbers like home appreciation growth and inventory. But before we get into the report, and this is everybody's favorite question, Nicole, can you kind of give some background about yourself, like what you studied and kind of what you do over at Zillow?
Yeah, so I studied economics at Seattle Pacific University, and I'm a data analyst on the economic research team with Zillow. I do research on everything happening in the housing market, why it's happening, and particularly, I do a lot of research on different demographic groups and how different aspects of the housing market impact different racial groups, genders differently, age groups, and all sorts of other intersections of those to kind of get a better understanding at what makes up the housing market and how it impacts people.
That's quite interesting. We've had a lot of people on one of our series who look a lot at housing gaps and like demographics. And so I just think that that's very interesting work in the sector. And Nicole, you are the author listed on Zillow's website for this report. So you are the perfect person to talk to. First, let's look at some month over month numbers. There has been a continual monthly increase in home value appreciation since January, since the beginning of this year. And while July had a 1.97% month over month growth for home appreciation, we saw that dip down just a little bit in the month of August to 1.75%. This is all according to the report. So what do you think drove this dip in the month of August?
So I think the first thing that I want to mention here is when we're talking about this kind of pullback on month over month appreciation, it's important to note that 1.75% monthly appreciation for August is still the third highest monthly appreciation we have on record back to 1996. So this is still a really fast rate, while it is a little bit, you know, slower than the July monthly appreciation number. That being said, we're seeing some early signs that overall appreciation year over year is going to start to pull back in the next couple of months in a similar way. A lot of that has to do with the fact that there's more inventory coming onto the market now. So as sellers are returning to the market and have more confidence in their housing decisions, we're going to see more inventory, as well as new construction starts pick up. We're going to see new inventory coming on, and that's going to help to moderate those prices further. We're seeing indications of listings with price cuts increasing. So more homes are dropping their listing price before selling. That's another indication that things are going to start to maybe moderate on the price appreciation side moving forward.
You touched on, even though August numbers are a little bit lower than July, it's still what, the third highest you guys have seen. And so on in that same vein, looking at annual growth, annual U.S. home value appreciation is still up 17.7% year over year. And so you kind of touched on this a little bit as well, but do you think August numbers are, like you said, more indicative of like a general slowdown in the market for the months to come, or did they represent more
of like the typical seasonal changes we see for this time of year?
Yeah. So as August year-over-year appreciation value at 17.7% is the record that we've seen ever in our data, you know, over 25 years of data, I would be cautious to say that this is showing us that there's a slowdown right now. We're just seeing signs that moderation is going to come in the coming months and throughout next year. With that, we're still expecting in August next year to see somewhere around 11 or 12% annual appreciation. So we're still going to have a really fast housing market as we're beginning this gradual pullback towards those normal levels. We are starting to see maybe some early signs of a new seasonality, right? We typically see the housing market cooling off in the fall and winter. People have their kids back in school. There's weather that's setting in a lot of parts of the country that's kind of adverse to moving for a lot of folks. And so we typically don't see as much movement in housing throughout those cooler months of the year. So we're probably expecting to see somewhat of a, you know, typical seasonality change here. It's just going to be at a much lesser degree than we typically see. We're still going to have a really tight housing market in terms of inventory. We're still going to see prices increasing at really rapid rates. So it's still going to be a tight market. It's just maybe going to be a little bit better, maybe more beneficial for buyers than the spring and summer were this year.
The report mentioned that inventory is back up. This is like the fourth month of this increase. So August had a 4.1% increase. But even though it's back up, it's still obviously quite lower than this time last year for most markets. The report also mentioned, and I found this incredibly interesting, that Austin and DC have more inventory currently than they did a year ago. And Austin in particular, maybe I'm biased because I'm from Texas, but Austin in particular hasn't had too much of this inventory problem, but is still one of the most notable markets for these like really substantially high price increases. Austin was like 44.8% annual home price appreciation. So are there any like discernible reasons or factors for this trend in areas like Austin and DC?
So Austin and DC both had really low, particularly DC, had really low inventory in the beginning and through the summer of last year compared to historic norms. Both of these markets saw inventory dropping a little bit sooner than the rest of the markets in the country. And so they're starting from a lower base. So when we see positive year-over-year, you know, inventory numbers, that's starting from a really low level. If you look at August inventory over the past several years, where we're at right now is still lower than it has been in the past. So, you know, those things are things to keep in mind in terms of what that inventory looks like. Additionally, you know, one of the reasons in Austin in particular why we're seeing such high growth levels while we have, you know, a little bit of reprieve on the inventory side is that there's a lot of existing homeowners who are, you know, able to take advantage of the home value increases they've seen over the last year and a half. You know, we've had existing homeowners that are just watching their home value skyrocket. Now they're able to cash in on that, whether that means, you know, moving to a larger house, you know, buying up, moving to another area or whatever. We're seeing a lot of existing homeowners taking advantage of the high prices in the market right now.
That's interesting. I guess I did an interview a couple weeks ago where we were looking at numbers, and it's very important to keep in mind that whenever we're looking at year over year for 2020, it's incredibly different than most other preceding years. So we need to have a different perspective when it comes to a lot of these numbers.
Yeah, certainly.
Also, we wanted to talk about rent a little bit. Rent also increased substantially over the past year compared to other years. And it's about $200 more a month on average in August 2021 compared to August 2020. Similar to our home appreciation numbers that we talked about earlier, month over month growth has dipped a little, but is still higher year over year. I'm curious as to why we're seeing like the renter market kind of follow the same patterns and trends as like the housing market per se. Because not all of the factors are the same. So could you break that down a little bit?
Yeah. So in a normal, healthy housing market, we typically see for sale side and the rental side trending in similar directions, at least. What we saw over the last year, and particularly through last summer, was a divergence between for sale housing and rental housing. And that looked like the for sale market continuing to take off, you know, appreciation being really high, home values growing really fast. And the rental market kind of stalled. In a lot of expensive areas around the country, we saw rents actually decreasing pretty substantially. A lot of that had to do with the fact that people weren't moving into cities because there were restrictions in place, shutdowns, jobs had a lot of uncertainty about, you know, where people were going to be permanently. And so we didn't really see a lot of movement in the rental market. We saw people kind of leaving the rental market last year. Now that things are starting to stabilize again, you know, we have amenities back open, we have economies that are, you know, functioning at their new normal level. What we're seeing is, you know, a lot of renters returning to the market now that they have longer, you know, work from home guidance, or if they're going back to the workplace. College campuses are reopening. So we're seeing a lot of this movement all at once. And that put a lot of pressure on rents of the past couple of months, starting back in like May. So, you know, early spring, early summer this year. What we saw was back in the spring and early summer this year was rent prices surpassed where we would have expected them to be had they grown, you know, at pre-pandemic trends. So we saw this dip, this drop back in prices, and then we saw this complete boom as people were returning to the rental market that really drove prices up super fast. So we've seen, you know, 7, 9, 11% appreciation year over year, which were just kind of unheard of numbers in our rent data, that we just keep breaking those records month after month now, as we're seeing all of these renters putting a lot of this demand on the market. And that's going to play out in terms of prices as there is more competition now in the renter market, as we have more people moving around from place to place.
Quick follow-up question on that. You mentioned like a lot of factors that have to do with rent, people moving out of the city to like suburbs and into more rural areas. I am curious, how exactly has the whole eviction moratorium like debacle kind of factored into this as well? Is that also another factor for the kind of slowdown and then boom for the market?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of questions about this recently. You know, a lot of people are interested in what does the eviction moratorium mean for the larger renter market? And really, it kind of boils down to the fact that while there are, you know, millions of Americans who are behind on their rent and could be at risk for eviction, the number of likely evictions we expect to be much lower. You know, we predicted somewhere around, I think, 260,000 renters being evicted in the, you know, 2 to 3 month period following the end of the moratorium, which is still a lot of people. Like, those are all individual households who are going to go through this really traumatic experience. And we definitely need to, you know, increase renter assistance to support that population. But in the overall renter market, that's not really going to be enough to make a huge wave. That's not going to impact prices or inventory in a way that's really going to make a meaningful shift. So we're not anticipating, you know, the rent increases coming from the eviction moratorium at all.
Last thing I wanted to touch on, do you or your team over at Zillow have any advice for people who are looking to either buy or sell for the remainder of the year? Economists expect the typical U.S. home value to shockingly and continue to increase over the next 3 months for the remainder of the year. So in your opinion, like, do you think people should be a little bit more cautious and wait until we get closer to 2022, or should they take advantage of these little bit early fall dip in numbers?
So, you know, deciding when to buy a home or when to sell a home is a really personal decision that has a lot of factors that are outside of housing market fundamentals and metrics. That being said, for people who are trying to decide, you know, should I wait or should I transact now, there are a couple things to keep in mind. The first is that, you know, as we've been talking about, inventory has been up the past couple of months, and we expect new inventory to come onto the market over the next you know, months and into next year. That will give potential buyers more options to choose from. And with more inventory, it's going to create less competition for a home. So that can definitely help, you know, ease the buying process and up somebody's chances of finding the perfect home for them. So waiting can certainly give an opportunity to find, you know, the right home in a little bit of a less competitive market. That being said, we're still expecting home prices to increase pretty rapidly compared to historic norms. And so, you know, if you wait a year, that home is going to be now, you know, 11, 12% more expensive than it is today. And so that's certainly something to think about. We also have interest rates that are still, you know, pretty low compared to historic norms. As those begin to tick up even slightly, that's going to impact monthly payments and really change, you know, the type of home that somebody's able to afford. And so waiting, you know, is also going to make that question a little bit more difficult of what can I afford a year from now if I don't know what interest rates are going to look like. On the seller side, you know, selling now is maybe beneficial because if these people are going to be turning into buyers, they're going to be facing a lot of those same challenges that buyers are. They could certainly also wait for prices to continue to increase and get more money for their home. So there's a lot of, you know, personal factors that are going to play into this aside from these kind of market fundamentals. But, you know, here are some of the things that we're looking at in terms of, you know, what should people do or what should you be thinking about at least.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for taking the time to come on the show and go over some of those numbers for us. Listeners, if you're interested in seeing the full report and the other great info that Zillow puts out, we've linked the report with this episode on the Housing Wire podcast article page, so be sure to check that out. Nicole, it has been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. This has been great.
Yeah, of course. And as always, thanks for listening. If you enjoy our show, please feel free to leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Be sure to join us back here tomorrow for more Housing Wire Daily.
Looking for more insight into what will happen in 2022? Or maybe you need more information on what in the world is happening with the federal regulators. Or you could just be looking for information on how to stay competitive as the industry shifts to a purchase-focused market. Our HW Plus premium membership comes with all of this insight and more. With your HW Plus membership, you'll get at least 5 HW Plus articles a week that dive deeper into the daily news to help you confidently make business decisions. To join, go to housingwire.com/membership.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. I hope you have a great afternoon. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on all the hottest stories crossing our news desk daily. The podcast is now available wherever you like to listen. Make sure to tune in tomorrow.